I asked the question today on my Twitter. Are we in a Bitcoin bull market or are we in a Bitcoin bear market? Right now, the poll says 68% of people think we're in a bull market and 32% of people think we're in a bear market. The problem is the following, right? You cannot base whether we're in a bull market or in a bear market on a poll on Twitter. You need to look at the charts. The problem is that when the charts hit or pivot from bull market to bear market, they don't publish any kind of notification. Like when we got to this point in the bull market over here, no one said, hey, we're about to go into a bear market. And so what ended up happening is everyone basically held on tight and waited for the market to turn. There was always good news ahead on the horizon. And so people landed waiting, only to find out 6 months later, look backwards and go, holy shit, we were actually in a bear market all along and we shouldn't have actually bought any of the tokens. So I think today what we need to look at is we need to look at whether indeed we are in a bull market or whether indeed we're in a bear market. And we need to look at the harsh truths of what that means. Because the last thing that we want is to keep thinking, because there's good news in the horizon, that there's going to be a bull market. And ultimately, we're going to land up holding our tokens all the way down to the ground. That's what we're going to be doing today. We're going to be taking a long, hard look at the data to decide whether indeed we are right now in a bull market or in a bear market and how we should actually act accordingly. And so if that sounds good to you, subscribe to the channel. Let's try and get up to 1.16 million subscribers. Obliterate the like button and let's get this show on the road. I learned a very good lesson in 2017 and then again in 2021. And the lesson that I learned is that the biggest mistake that you can make in markets and in crypto is to be bullish in a bear market and to be bearish in a bull market, right? Because the problem is that if you're bullish in a bear market, you're buying and 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 you've landed up buying the whole dip. And you land up waiting a long, long, long time for the recovery. And the same goes for in a bull market. If you're in a bull market and you're bearish, you never actually let go. You never actually buy those altcoins. You never actually spend all your cash and you land up losing the returns. And so what I realized is that the only way to stop this is to actually understand whether or not we're in a bull market and a bear market. Look at what the indicators are and then decide whether right now we're in a bull market and a bear market. And I think the biggest mistake that you can make is to lean on the news to decide whether or not you're in a bull market or a bear market. And the reason why the news is not a very good indicator is if people want things to be positive, they will look for the positive in something. And if people want things to be negative, they will look for the negative in something. The problem is that the sentiment only really shifts a long time after the prices shift, right? So the problem is that right now, we're all saying, yes, we want to be bullish. But somewhere, if the prices continue to go down, at some point, we'll turn bearish and we'll start looking at the bearish news. And that's just human nature, right? And so the idea is to pivot before the sentiment of the news pivots. Humans are naturally optimistic. By virtue of the fact that humans are naturally optimistic, they look for the good news in everything. They look for the growth in anything. Most humans, majority of humans, there are some people, humans, that are by nature pessimistic. Those are the people that we actually love because they show us when the optimists are being too optimistic. And so what I prefer to do is instead of looking at sentiment or looking at what people's hope is, generally when people look for hope in news, you can look at it from two sides. And I'll give you an example, right? Let's take the Bitcoin Strategic Reserve. So on the one hand, you can say, wow, the US is forming a Bitcoin Strategic Reserve. That is huge news, right? The other side of it says, you could say, but the Bitcoin Strategic Reserve has to be budget neutral. And budget neutral means they can never, ever spend money on Bitcoin, which means that ultimately the Strategic Reserve is just a marketing ploy for the US to hold the current Bitcoin that they've got. Same piece of news. Good side, bad side. Those that want the market to go up, they'll say, well, the US hasn't even started to buy for the Bitcoin Strategic Reserve. And those that believe the market will go down, they'll say, but hold on, the Strategic Reserve has to be budget neutral. And therefore, there's going to be no spend. And so you can swing news whichever way you want news to be swung. But ultimately, you've got to decide whether you're in a bull market or in a bear market. And that's really what I want to spend time doing today. So if that sounds good to you, obliterate the like button. Let's quickly get through a few things before we go into the hard truth of what's going on. So I want to just show you a couple of things. Yesterday, we got the inflation numbers. The CPI numbers couldn't have been better, right? They were an absolute, I mean, we beat, we got 2.8% instead of the forecast 2.9%. In fact, if you analyze the numbers, what you would have realized is that Biden's last inflation report was 5.7% annualized. Trump's first inflation report is 2.4% annualized, okay? Inflation is coming down, and inflation is coming down very fast. Now, let's look at what the markets did, right? This is what the markets did. So this is, I've gone back to the hourly, right? So you can look at the hourly. But what you can see here is the markets went up straight after the inflation report, and then the markets mysteriously went down. What happened? What happened? Here, the same thing happened with Bitcoin. If you go onto the hourly here, yeah, we are back on the hourly. Yesterday, we went up and then we went all the way down. Why? After a great inflation report. I'll tell you why. Because as soon as we got a good inflation report, there was another tariff announcement. Okay, now are you guys picking up a pattern here? If Trump's mission is to get the markets down, and you get a good inflation report, which is not actually in his control, and he wants to get the market down because he wants to get into recession, and he wants to convince Powell to reduce interest rates, what do you do? If you're Trump, what do? You get a good inflation report, you announce something to crash markets, which is exactly what happened. Which is why today, hear me out here, which is why today I got, I saw this on Truth Social. Look at the time here, right? So this is 2 p.m. South African. We got the European Union, one of the most hostile and abusive taxing and tariffing authorities in the world, which was formed for the sole purpose of taking advantage of the United States, has put a nasty 50% tariff on whiskey. If this tariff is not removed immediately, the US will shortly place a 200% tariff on all wines. Okay, now that was at 2 o'clock South African time. And at 2:30 South African time, we got a PPI, which was better than expected. Coincidence? I don't know so much. I think that there's an agenda in Washington that says, under no circumstances can you let the markets go up. We need cool markets. If there's good data, come up with a bad headline. Because right now, Trump is on a mission, and his mission is to get the markets down. And he cannot let the markets go up, because otherwise, the problem is that Powell's not going to reduce interest rates. And so right now, I'm watching this and I'm going, hold on a second here. Every time that there's good news that comes out of the market, when the markets get too hot, when the market gets hopeful, Trump always does something. And right now, the thing that he does is pretty much around trade wars and tariffs and whatever else. And maybe the narrative will change, but I think you need to see exactly what's going on here. Anyway, that is what I think is going on. Now let's talk about the big question of the day. The reason why you guys came here. Question. I mean, just tell me in the chat here, and maybe you can run a poll. Are we in a bull market or are we in a bear market? And the problem is that you have to decide. And the reason why you have to decide whether we're in a bull market or in a bear market is, as I said before, there's no announcement at the top of a bull market. And if you think we're in a bull market, if you're bullish in a bear market, you land up buying the dip, buying the dip, buying the dip, buying the dip. And when you get here, you go, holy shit, what have I done? I've literally bought the whole way down when I should have exited the market, right? So the question that needs to be answered is, are we in a bull market or in a bear market? Question, are we here on this chart or are we here on this chart? Is this recent dip in the market, is this dip which is a 30% dip, is this a healthy bull market correction like all the other bull market corrections that we've had, 35%, 37%, 25%, or is this the beginning of a bear market? And you know how we define a bear market? When everybody is waiting for the last leg up, right? When everybody's waiting for one more leg up, and the leg up never comes up and never goes higher, or not never, but in doesn't go up higher than this thing over here, then we're ultimately got conned. And we're pretty much in a bear market. And that's why I think it's so important to really, really, really understand whether this is a correction or whether this is a little dip before the final surge, the one last leg up that everybody wants to exit on. And that's pretty much what what I think we need to discuss, and I think just to clarify what we mean by bull market and bear market, so we're all on the same page. A bull market is defined as a period where we expect prices to increase, and a bear market is defined as a period where we can expect markets to decrease. And the reason why I've pointed that out is, let's talk about bull market as up trajectory and bear market as down trajectory. Okay, so let's just bull market, bear market, up trajectory and down trajectory. Okay, and then you'll realize that there's the word period. Now, the reason why I said that there's the word period, because it's all about what time frame you're looking at. And the reason why I said that is because if you look at Bitcoin ever since its inception, you can pretty much say that Bitcoin's been on a 10-year bull market, right? Problem is that in that 10-year bull market, when you go to a different time period, like in this period between November 21 and December 22, no one can say that Bitcoin was in a bull market, in a short-term bull market in that period. And so it's very important that we define the time periods under which we're looking, right? Because you can have a bull market for 1 hour, and then you can have a bear market for another hour. You can have a 1 week bull market. You can have a 1 month bull market. But ultimately, I think today, for the purpose of discussion, let's define the bull market as the bull market that started in November, December, 2022. So this is, we can define this as the bottom. Let's define this period here as the bottom. And then I think we can kind of conclude that from here at 14,000 to here at 82,000 or even to 100,000, we were pretty much in a bull market. Okay, now the big question is, are we still in a bull market, or is this pattern, as you can see here, playing out again and now going back into a bear market? Now, whether or not we're in a bull market or a bear market now, no doubt that as long as Bitcoin keeps the total upward trend, which can be defined as standing along these lines over here. So as long as Bitcoin keeps this total upward trend and we keep putting in higher lows, then I'd say that Bitcoin is still in a bull market. But in the shorter term, maybe we're not in a bull market, and maybe we're going into a bear market. So let's define, I think, so in order to understand that, so you understand that bull markets and bear markets are completely, completely, completely time dependent, and that you can always zoom out and find a bull market, or zoom in or zoom out and find a bull market somewhere. But I think the bull market that we're talking about, universally, the language that we're talking today is this bull market, which started at $15,000 on November 2022, over, or is this just a correction in a bull market? That is the big question. Okay, so I think in order to do that, what we need to do is just agree on a few things. The first thing is, certainly when cycles top, there are certain indicators that show you that cycles have topped, right? And I'm sure that if you look for cycle for indicators, you'll always find some kind of indicator. So if we go to there's this indicator called BTI indicator. So if you look at the BTI indicator, this is a combination of all the top indicators. And you can see that generally it feels like this always tops. And let me try and make this a bit smaller. Yeah. You can see that generally when we look at this BTI indicator kind of shows you when it gets red and when we top. And if this cycle is similar to all the other cycles, well, then you can kind of say, look, we haven't actually hit any of the metrics that define the top of a cycle. If you look at YouTube views, we never got this spike in YouTube views. If you look at the BTC Pi cycle top, which is another indicator, we never broke over both lines, and so probably haven't peaked when it comes to that, right? If you look at the historical risk levels, you can see that Bitcoin didn't, or the historical risk levels didn't break above. And so the top indicators, the traditional top indicators on the cycle didn't actually happen. However, there were a whole lot of indicators that did happen. I mean, like the top of the last cycle where we had an NFT craze, this time we had a meme coin craze. I mean, if you want like a real top indicator, guys, the president launched a fucking meme coin, okay? Like, if that's not an indicator of froth in the market, if that's not the ultimate celeb endorsement of a coin, well, I don't know what is, okay? So let's say that potentially the cycle hasn't topped because we haven't got the top indicators. However, maybe we are going into a scenario like 2021, where we're in a bull market. We went to here. We then went through a, if I remember correctly, it was a couple of weeks or a couple of months. We went through a bull market, a bear market of 4 months, and then we resumed the bull market, right? So now the question is, how do you know whether we're in a bull market or a bear market? And the bad news is that unfortunately, there isn't one single reliable indicator as to what is a bull market and what is a bear market. There are many indicators that people look at, and I think we need to go through all those different indicators. So let's look at some of the basic ones. The first one is you can look at the halving cycle and you can say, look, based on this halving cycle and this chart that everybody's seen from the halving to the peak and the number of days, if we continue on the four-year cycles, which are the halving cycles, then we should top in peak October 25. Correct. The only thing is that the halving cycle has kind of lost relevance. And the reason why the halving cycle has lost relevance is because when Bitcoin was emitting 50 Bitcoin every block, that was significant. Problem is that now Bitcoin's emitting 3.125 Bitcoin every single block. And relative to the total supply that exists in the market already, remember in the old days, Bitcoin was emitting 50 Bitcoin divided by, say, a million Bitcoin which were in circulation. Today, Bitcoin is emitting 3.125 Bitcoin every block, and that is divided by 19.5 million Bitcoin which are already in circulation. So there's a big argument to say that the halving cycle kind of becomes irrelevant now. Then we go into another indicator. Another indicator is what they call the bull market support band. This is the bull market support band. You can get it on TradingView. On the daily, which means on the short time frame, we've broken down below the bull market support band. On the weekly, we've also broken down below the bull market support band, right? So again, we've broken down below the bull market support band. Does this mean that the bull market's actually over? Well, in the past, if we have, after this upsurge, broken sharply below the bull market support band, we had one recovery here, we broke sharply again, we went down again. In 2017, once we broke below the bull market support band, that was the end of the bull market. Okay? The problem is that in this cycle, we broke down below the bull market support band and we somehow recovered above the bull market support band. And now we're breaking down sharply. The word sharply is a very important word here. Sharply below the bull market support band. So what you'll notice here is that if you do break below the bull market support band, but it's not a sharp break of the bull market support band, typically the bull market can actually continue. However, historically, if we've broken down sharply below the bull market support band, in this case, we've got a double top or a slightly higher high. But in every other case, if we break sharply below the bull market support band, it's not really a good sign. And we've broken sharply below the bull market support band. Then there's another one that people look at, right? And again, I'm looking at it on the weekly just to give us slightly bigger time frame. You can look at it on the daily. On the daily, we actually broke below the bull market support band a long time ago. Next is the 50-week SMA, simple moving average. And what this shows is it basically shows that if we break through the 50-week SMA, we typically head towards the 200-week SMA, which basically means that when we break below this 50-week SMA, we generally go into a bear market. Now, we are currently exactly on the 50-week SMA, right? We haven't broken down on the 50 SMA, but if we do, then like happened in 2017, and like happened in 2021, that symbolized the end of the bull market, right? Once here and once here. And here we're touching it. Important to note that here, the 50-week SMA, we touched, we broke under, we wicked under it, and then we continued back on the uptrend. So again, if you look at this indicator, it kind of says, look, we're actually on the cusp right now. If we break below it, then actually we are in the bear market. Let's look at another one. And this is the one that I think is one of the best ones. And to be honest, I wish I could tell you that it was my work, but it's actually not my work. It's the work of the dupes, the Carl Dupster. And I want you to listen to what he says.
The first strategy that we're going to go over is one of my absolute favorite. It's the 21 weekly EMA strategy. And believe it or not, if you followed this since the beginning, it would have outperformed the market by 14.8 times. This is essentially how it works. All that you need to do is put on your 21 weekly EMA. Anytime that the exponential moving average is angled upwards and price is holding above that level, you want to be entered into the market. Anytime that the price price action candles fall below the exponential moving average, and specifically the exponential moving average is angled downwards, you want to be exited out of those positions.
Okay, so that's Doopsy's, that's what Doopsy says. Now let's look at the 200, the 21 EMA. So if you look at the 21 EMA, and again we are looking at the weekly, you can see that number one, we have broken down below the 21 EMA, as we did over here, and as we did over here, right? And as we did over here, we've broken down sharply below the 21 EMA. And as Kyle says, the 21 EMA is also moving downwards, right? So you can see it, you can see it over here. So those two boxes have ticked that potentially this is the end of the bull market. But however, again, every now and then, like over here, we had an anomaly. We went down below the 21 thing, but we recovered. We recovered. And I think the same thing also happened here. We went down below and we actually recovered. But generally what you can see is if you break below the EMA 21, it's generally not a good thing on the weekly, right? So it's generally not a good thing on the weekly. Now, I say this again to you guys, and I think we have said this before. We're in a bull market, and 32% of people think Kyle is running a school. I say this. This is one of the best indicators that I've gotten. He really, really, really goes into it on the school. It's, again, the last free school that Kyle's doing. The next one's going to cost $2,000. You can sign up to Kyle's school. There's 18 days left to get signed up and approved. But trust me, do this course, because Dupes actually spends a lot of time going through this. And this is the last chance. The next one's, again, going to be $2,000. Let's go back to it. So the 21 EMA says that potentially we are actually in a bear market. Why? Sharp break of a 21 EMA and a downward sloping EMA. Note how as soon as we break above the 21 EMA, generally signals the beginning of the bull market. It happened here, it happened over here, and it happened over here, right? As soon as we broke above the 21 EMA, that signaled the beginning of the bull market. To me, this has been the most reliable indicator. And if you trade just based on the 21 EMA, you'll outperform the market. Historically, you would have outperformed the market by 14 times. All you do is you go to TradingView, you put in your EMA, you put in the 21 EMA, and you look at it on the weekly, right? So that is the other indicator that says that potentially we're in a bear market. Okay, so now we've got a whole lot of indicators that are kind of saying to you that, look, we're either in a bear market or on the verge of a bear market. Now there's the non-scientific, more emotional one where I say the following, where I say, look, there are a couple of indicators here which for me will invalidate this bull market. The most important indicator for me which would invalidate this bull market is if we go down to this level over here, which is kind of towards the previous high of the range of the previous administration, and also coincidentally the top of the 2021 cycle. So it seems like it's the ultimate key level. Why? It's the top of the 2021 cycle, and it's also kind of near the top of the old administration, the crypto prices before the old administration. And the idea here is to say, look, in my opinion, we had a bit of a blow off top. Now the question is whether we're going to bounce off here or basically go up. If we do land up bouncing off here, the correction will be about a 35% correction, and we'll touch the high of the previous cycle, and we'll still put in a higher high, and we'll continue on this uptrend. And the reason why I say that is because here it becomes a technical and a fundamental indicator. The technical indicator says this is amazing support. Like if it's the previous cycle's high, it's the top range, the top of the range of the chop of the previous administration, and it is a 35% correction more or less. So it comes down to about a 36 or 37% correction. If we don't bounce off that level and we go below that level, then I think you've got to kind of say to yourself, okay, hold on a second. No matter what good news seems to be on the horizon, that must be declared as pretty much the end of this crypto boom, or specifically the end of this bull market. Now, again, I'm only talking about Bitcoin. I'm not talking about altcoins, because the truth is that I actually think that altcoins are in a bear market. I think that altcoins have been in a bear market for a long time. But for the purposes of today, let's actually just talk about Bitcoin and say, look, we can't just blindly believe that the cycle is going to continue to go up. Because if you do, you're going to land up buying the dip all the way down until eventually you land up buying the dip all the way down to $50,000 or wherever we land up. There are a few indicators that are showing us the bull market support band is broken. This traditional halving cycle, which is probably less relevant, showing us that it's not the end of the cycle. The 50 SMA is exactly right now on the 50 SMA. And so it's at a decision point. And if you look at the EMA 21, it shows all the characteristics of a breakdown in the bull market. And so ultimately, we've got to be ready for the realization that this specific bull market may be over. May be over. So the question is, what do you do? Well, I think the only real answer here is, number one, face reality that it is a proposition. And if indeed you are facing reality and it is indeed a proposition, you want to be holding assets that you can hold because you think that multi-cycle, these assets are going to continue in a long-term bull run despite the short-term cycles. And I think there's probably 5 or 6 assets that can do it. You can decide what your assets are. Mine are obviously Bitcoin, maybe Solana, maybe a couple of others, but there's not many that I'd be holding on a multi-cycle a bull market. And so that's exactly what you need to do. You need to set yourself an invalidation thesis, because if you don't have an invalidation thesis, you're constantly going to scream bull, bull, bull. And I only know this because I did this. I screamed, it was more this one here, where the whole way down here, it was the whole way down. Let me go back to that, to your chart here. Literally the whole way down, I was screaming bullish, 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 bullish. And then, I mean, I landed up averaging all the way down and I landed up on my investment. But ultimately, it's not a good look. And I would have much rather preferred to have adopted a more scientific approach like the EMA 21 approach, which says, hey, we've broken down, I'm selling. And I'm going to buy again when we actually break up. And I'm okay with it, because if I would have sold here and then bought back here, I'm okay with it. And so to me, the most reliable indicator that I found is this EMA 21. But ultimately, you need to have your own indicator and you need to decide when your invalidation is going to be. And also, you need to be holding assets which you think are going to survive multi-cycle. Bitcoin, Solana, maybe ETH, maybe Sui, maybe Hyperliquid when all these troubles pass. In fact, I think it's a great time to be buying Hyperliquid now that everybody's scared of it. So that is what you guys need to do. What did the poll say? What did the poll say? That's the problem. When a lot of people still think we're in a bull market, they're buying instead of selling, and then they land up holding the bag. I'm not saying we're in a bull market or in a bear market. I'm just saying you should consider both options. You should consider the probability, which, by the way, I think is about 25 to 40% that we are actually in a bear market for now. That's pretty much what you need to be doing. Let me know what you think. Also, someone says this channel is wishy-washy. It's not wishy-washy. It's just looking at the data. And what the data is telling us is that we've got to be open to the possibility. Because if we just go, yeah, bro, buy the dip. At $50,000, you would have bought all the dips and you would have been completely broke. Before I go, if you are a whale, or maybe not a whale, but like on your way to becoming a whale, we have now started to focus on getting you guys the most incredible, incredible, incredible exchange signups. And it starts off with Blowfin, right? So we're looking for people that are looking to deposit bigger money into exchanges. And we've negotiated like ridiculous sign-up bonuses, like ridiculous, ridiculous, ridiculous sign-up bonuses, okay? So for example, if you put in $40,000, you immediately get $5,000 in your account. No jokes, you put in $40,000, you get $5,000, which you can actually start trading with. And if you start losing, you lose the $5,000, you don't lose the $40,000. If you deposit $75,000, you're getting a $10,000 bonus. You can start trading immediately and you lose the $10,000 before you lose the $75,000. There is a link below if you're one of these traders. This works for you basically. Sign up, use the link, and then deposit and you'll get these futures trading bonuses, which I don't think anybody in the industry is negotiating. And I'm going to keep negotiating these for you guys until one day you guys make so much money, you're not going to even know what to do with it. Anyway, see you guys again tomorrow. Until then. Trade well, my friends.